Oh, the things you'll do for a friend. You're hard up for a friend. You've been on the mission field for 7 years, and man, so nice to have a good friend. You'll just do about anything for the fella. You know, there's one way to get some attaboys, and that's to call in a replacement who's so low on the totem pole that they're begging you to come back. I told him, I said, Pastor, I'll help you. I want to help you. But, man, they're going to be so happy to have you back the next time it's your turn to preach. How many of you like a trophy? Depends on what you're doing, right? Yeah, we out here in these Indiana woods, we get an idea of a trophy. That's one sort of a trophy. Another one would be something you get as you cross the stage 4 years after you started the process, right? You get a diploma. That's a trophy of your hard work. Go to a thrift store and your kid sees a little gold trophy on the shelf and they would like that, so you buy that for them and it reminds them of something. The little guy playing baseball or basketball or soccer or something. But trophies in our life point back to something. And here in a little bit, I'm going to have some audience participation. So if you brought your pillow, Chad, you might want to stay awake. I want to hear about some trophies in your life. The trophies that I'm referring to tonight in your life are answers to prayer. Answers to prayer from events in the past where God has helped us through a battle, reminding us of a victory, an accomplishment, or a blessing. Many times through the Bible, it talks about an altar that's been built as a reminder of God's help and blessing. Noah built an altar the first thing after he left the ark. Can you imagine the things, the firsts that Noah saw through that process of building an ark and the rain and the animals and the floods, all that, and coming out and falling down on his face and saying, thank you, Lord. I don't know what all that was about, but it's so nice to be on dry land again. Abraham built altars during his travels. Moses built altars for the children of Israel, and Joshua built an altar after they safely crossed the Jordan River. Why were these altars built? First of all, as a thanksgiving. They offered sacrifices of thanksgiving. And in the case of Joshua, it specifically says for the 12 tribes of Israel to remember, to look back and say, what was that about, Dad? Mom, why did they build an altar back there? Why is there 12 stones? What's the significance? And I think in our lives, we are allowed to have a trophy. God gives us a trophy, so to speak, of a remembrance for us and for us to pass on that heritage to our children and say, son, look, this is what God did for me here. This is why we do it this way. I have this trophy as a remembrance. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, open them to 1 Samuel 17. And we'll start in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Let thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine and to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he, or Goliath, is a man of war. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant hath kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And now skip down to verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Here we have a story of Sunday school for many, many years. Most of you know the story. If you don't, I'm surprised. But you know the story of David, a young man, a child, coming to the battlefield and hearing and seeing the giant making fun of God's people. And David's consternation, he goes to King Saul and says, why is nobody doing anything about this man? He's just a man. And you see right there where we read, David tells Saul, he can be no different than the lion or the bear. In verse 50, it goes on and it says, and so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword for David. And it goes on and it says, David took Goliath's sword because he had no sword, and he raised it over his head and removed Goliath's head. Now that's all basically what we know of the story. I could ask you questions, tell me about this story and give you a few hints, and you could repeat that story basically word for word almost. I was in an ACE convention when I realized this second part to that story. And that been a few years ago now. And that's when I got this idea, this message a long time ago. And I've used it several times since then. Look down to verse 54 and it says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. What a gruesome trophy. But the people were cowering in their houses, in their huts, in their tents. They were hearing the battle going on. And you know, it's one thing to hear what happened, and it's totally different when somebody comes in and says, he's dead and we have the proof. And you come in and you say, children, we're going to be okay, and here's the proof. You bring that trophy into your home, into your church, into your workplace, and you say, God moved, and here's the proof. The doctors can't decide or can't say what exactly happened. They don't really know, but I can tell you what happened. I have the proof. I have the trophy. If you read on to the end of that verse, so David brought the head into Jerusalem, and the end of 54 says, but he put his armor in his tent. Whose armor was that? Well, it sure wasn't David's armor, because he rejected King Saul's armor, right? Remember that at the beginning of the story. David said, this isn't mine, it's too big. I can't use it. So he went without armor. And here he is putting armor in his tent. In my this century mind, I can see a little boy dragging his little red wagon home to his tent, and it's just mounded with Goliath's armor. I mean, the shield, how big would the shield have been for a man that's 9 foot tall? What about the breastplate or the leg coverings of whatever they called them? How big would they have been? How heavy would it have been for a young man, 16, 17, 18 years old maybe, to drag home and put in his tent. What a trophy of God's deliverance. I like that because, you know, it wasn't the first thing that David had in his trophy case. On the floor in front of his trophy case was a bearskin. On the other side was some lion claws. And who knows what else was in that trophy. Some of us like to think about a trophy, or we have a beard and some spurs. Or maybe you're a fisherman and you have a fish. But David had a trophy case of God's goodness in his life. If you turn back to Proverbs chapter 22, 28, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Don't hide your trophies. Ever so often, get out your ladder and climb up on the mantle. Open the doors to your curio cabinet and break out those trophies. Dust it off and, honey, you remember this one? Now, son, when I was your age, yeah, Dad, I know that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Break out those trophies and remind them. Remind yourself about the God that we serve. About the God that rescued you from the lion and the bear and the Philistine. God that brought you through the car wreck or the medical problem, financial ruin. Whatever the situation was that God brought you through, break out those trophies, dust them off, and remember how good God has been to you. Now, this is where I want some of you to participate. I was laughing, talking to a couple of teenagers earlier today and told them that I was going to ask them to participate. And they were going to ask them if they would sing a special. And they said, "Oh, sure, no problem." They were already going to sing and they thought they had me fooled. But I let them off the hook. So I would like some of you to participate, not singing a special, but to stand up and open your trophy case and break out a trophy, dust it off, and tell us about the time that God came to your rescue. I was afraid Brother Ziegler was going to take all the testimonies right out of you. But in truth, him and Angela just really got the ball rolling, talking about how God has helped them just recently, giving their trophies a dusting off and a shining up, and reminding us of how good the God is that we serve. I'm new here, so I don't know your stories. I don't know who has the miracles that need to be shared again. So you tell us. Call somebody out if they're not standing up. When I was 10, we came back from the mission field and moved to Wichita, Kansas for my dad to pastor a church. And my mom wrote this story and sent it to me, but it's far too wordy for some of my sermons, so I'll shortcut it. But I was, mom says, a normally exuberant, rambunctious boy who liked to use his voice to the fullest. And my grandma used to tell my mom, "Why is he always hoarse?" And mom just accounted it to all of my yelling and screaming and whatever, carrying on. And one Friday I got sick in the morning, and so she didn't send me to school. She called the doctor, and they said, "Well, the first appointment we have is Monday." By Monday I was fine, but mom said, "Well, let's keep the appointment anyway. I don't know why. There was no reason for him to be sick and have this temperature and whatever." So she went, the doctor checked me out, there was nothing wrong with me, I was fine. But the doctor asked my mom, "Is he always hoarse?" And mom said, "Well, I don't know, it's normal to me, but my mom says he is." And so the doctor said, "I was just having lunch over the weekend with a therapist or a doctor or something, who told her to start looking for children that were always hoarse, because that meant they had a problem with their vocal cords. And so that therapist's office was on the way home, so Mom went by there on the way home and got me an appointment for, I don't know, the next day or something. This therapist had the only x-ray machine in the state of Kansas that could x-ray vocal cords like they needed to be x-rayed to see if I had this problem. And what it was I had nodules, which is like a callus or a growth on my vocal cords. And if you wait too long and they harden, the only thing to do is to remove them by surgery. And then you have a raspy, whispery voice that you can never get volume out of or anything like that. And I had these nodules already on my vocal cords. And I don't know what stage they were in. She didn't say they were classified as any stage or whatever. But she was worried about it. And so I started therapy, and I was having to drink, seemed like 2 quarts of water a day. And for a little guy, you look up in the fridge and you see that big old mason jar sitting there and you think, I have to drink all of that? And she said, the therapist said, if everything goes right and we don't have to do surgery, he should be as good as he'll get in 6 months. So we did these therapies and whatever, and I was drinking all this water. In 6 weeks, I went for a checkup and the nodules were completely gone. Completely gone. There was no scarring, no evidence of any kind of callus or anything in there. And so that's my story of God's healing, God's touch in my life. And I think, and for that, I probably couldn't have been a school teacher that I was for 9 years or a missionary that I was for 7 years without having a voice. And God is good. I enjoy singing. I enjoy not speaking like this, but I enjoy talking. And it's good to be able to do that. So I thank the Lord for that trophy in my life. Anyone else? Amen. All right, in conclusion, you can say, well, I don't have a great big trophy case, and your trophies may not fit the need, but you can look across the church and say, he helped their horse, he can help my cow. He saved him from an accident, he can protect me. So use the trophies that God has given someone else to encourage yourself. Use those trophies to show your children that it's not my God. I'm not the only weirdo here. And we're really not that weird anyway, kids. Because look there, and look at brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and her testimony and his miracle and her trophy case. And we can take those trophies to our kids and say it's not just us. There's other people that we're not related to. We're not related to anybody here. That's first. That we're not related to. They're not my cousin. They're not my sister. And they serve the same God that we serve. And he answers their prayers too. And then Sister Bishop, I think is your name, right? She touched on the other conclusion part. And some of us have pretty big petitions out there. And we're saying, Lord, I need your help. And we're expecting to hear more trophy testimonies in the future. Because the God that answered prayer in the past and gave us the trophies that we're talking about tonight, he can answer your prayer. And he can solve your medical situation. He can use those situations. Maybe we still suffer. But when we get to heaven, there'll be somebody there. Because you were in the hospital and handed out a Bible, there's another soul in heaven. So be encouraged tonight. I'm encouraged. I thank the Lord for his amazing power, his faithfulness and his kindness, his help to every one of us in so many situations. Thank you for making this the longest sermon I've ever preached.
That was good, though. I hope you all enjoyed that. That was good. And I believe that that's what the great cloud of witnesses is all about, to share the victories and the trophies, the great answers to prayer, the little answers to prayer. Share them with others to encourage somebody else. Thank you so much, brother. That was an excellent, excellent thought, excellent truth, excellent message for us tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's just close out with that good closing song, the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings.